Marcus Bailey, Wish TV meteorologist, who is outraged, I say, that he was not taken in the first round by the Indianapolis Colts.
I know.
They took an edge rusher, a pass rusher. And Marcus Bailey is like, what about me who could sit in the stands and cheer quite voraciously?
Yeah. No, I mean, I do that every year, but I just keep waiting for my number to get called, Tony, and just another year passes by. So,
damn you, Chris Ballard!
Right.
Damn you to hell, ruining a young man's dreams.
I don't know if I'm young anymore, but yes, thank you.
Ruining a middle-aged man's
<That's>
dreams.
<correct. laughs> Oh, brother. Hey, happy Friday. Should be a nice, mild day today. It's dry the start. Watch out for a few spotty showers and storms mid to late afternoon if you're heading downtown for the Pacers at 5:30. There might be a few showers and storms. I do think a lot of areas are going to be dry. 66 will be your high. Tonight, slightly better chances for some scattered showers and storms. It's going to be a very mild overnight as well, 63. Big warm-up this week. In fact, warmest temperatures of the season so far. Saturday, at least for the morning, some scattered showers and storms. I think the afternoon is dry. We'll finish with a high of 82. Sunday, mostly sunny, very warm, a high of 83, and then we'll see a return of more widespread showers and storms Monday. Still mild with highs in the mid-70s.
That is Marcus Bailey, a man with broken dreams.
Broken.
Broken.
Well, always next year.
Broken. Damn you, Shane Steichen.
That's right.
By the way, did you even try out?
No. No, oh. I was hoping I was just going to go on reputation. So I was
You know what? I just figured out the flaw in your plan.
Yeah. What's that?
Reputation. You don't really have.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. You know. Okay. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, thank you. I love your honesty, Tony. Thank you.
Well, that's why they pay me the medium bucks.
That's right.
That's it. It's for that and how I look in jeans. That's the 1-2 punch that got Tony Katz paid. That is it.
Wow.
Right there. Marcus Bailey, Wish TV meteorologist. Appreciate you.
45
degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 6:08. That is the newest Colt. 15th pick. I'd be lying if I said I had enough data on the NFL draft to be able to say this was a good pick or not a good pick. But the argument that you're at pick number 15, the 14 picks ahead of you were all offensive, which means the best of the best of the defensive side were still on the board, and you said, well, let's just go with that. That is a rational argument. And it's not like you would have a problem with somebody, you know, drafting a pass rusher. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. UCLA, we're all going to learn about this thing that he had with his neck when he played with Washington that actually, quote unquote, ended his career. And then it was like, well, maybe if you try this, maybe if you do that. And 2 years of playing at UCLA at a very, very high level, and the Colts feel that it's worth the risk. And the boards had this guy, Liatu, L-A-I-A-T-U. Liatu Latu is his name, last name L-A-T-U. Worth it. Worth the pick. It's kind of hard to get. You don't know what the future is going to bring. You never know what the future is going to bring. But it's kind of hard to be angry at the Colts for going in this direction. But nothing was a crazier pick than the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. After signing Kirk Cousins, quarterback, to a 4-year, $180 million contract, they pick up Michael Penix Jr. Plays for Washington in college, used to play for IU. They picked him up number 8. They took him before J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, Bo Nix out of Oregon. I don't know. I don't know, but it was very clear that everybody across Draftland who was, you know, there, you know, announcing, and they make them expect everybody, they all had the same look on their face. Really? Is that right? And then some of them had the other look, and they were like, did the Falcons just take Michael Penix Jr.? Right? Well, it was this.
What happened?
There it is, right there. Yeah. It was something. But the draft is there. And that's what's going on. Is Joseph Newgarden doing a press conference today? Because this story about the whole push-to-pass thing for the IndyCar driver, Team Penske, disqualified from the St. Pete finish, and has the win stripped from him because he utilized a tool that you're not supposed to utilize. Maybe it shouldn't have been in the car, but he knew he wasn't supposed to utilize it. And they're like, well, they stripped it from him. And Team Penske said, we'll accept this. And people thought that was the end of it. And the fans were like, oh, no, that's not the end of it. What is this nonsense? Why was Joseph Newgarden utilizing this tool? Scott McLaughlin did it as well. And now I think Newgarden's doing a press conference today because people are not happy. And when I say it looks like he cheated, knew he cheated, got caught, and tried to just hide under the rug about it, that's exactly, I think, what happened. I think that this is actually something that is reverberating, and the question I have is, will it reverberate in the paddock? Will it reverberate in the garage? Will it reverberate with other teams that now start to question every result? That's the question I have. We'll find out soon enough. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime. And you say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which Trump versus Hawaii, excuse me, where the court said Korematsu is overruled. I mean, President Roosevelt made that decision with the advice of his attorney general. That's a layer
of
safeguard.
Is that really true? I thought Attorney General Biddle thought that there was really no threat of sabotage, as did J. Edgar Hoover.
So I think that there is a lot of historical controversy, but it underscores that occurred during wartime. It implicates potential commander-in-chief concerns about the exigencies of national defense.
This is the Justice Department saying why, even though they believe that you can charge a president with a crime committed during their term in office, there might be places where you can't. It was a rather interesting argument in front of the Supreme Court, because the argument made by Michael Dreeben there, who is with the Justice Department in front of Justice Alito and the rest of the court, was that the idea that there are acts that the president could engage in that can't be charged as crimes simply can't exist, except, of course, in places where it can. And it was within that maybe the Justice Department hurt themselves in their case. But when it came to Trump's lawyers admitted that there are differences between private acts and public acts. So maybe not every act is covered by immunity. Everything about what we saw in front of the Supreme Court yesterday is all a question of how you want to take it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The phone number, 317-239-9393. It was interesting as I was, you know, putting together information for the show, like Wall Street Journal, Supreme Court appears open to some of Donald Trump's immunity claims. This is News Nation. SCOTUS seems skeptical of Trump's presidential immunity argument. Everybody has an opinion. Everyone, including the absolute radicals of cable news, who wonder how come you're not rioting in the streets already.
Nothing that happened today with the Supreme Court being in the tank for Donald Trump is surprising
at
to
all.
You.
No.
It's not surprising to me.
At all.
It's not surprising to your viewers at home. You know why? Because we're not stupid, all right? Donald Trump called his shot months ago. He said, my Supreme Court justices will never let this happen to me. And he was absolutely right.
Yep.
So with that information, my question to the American people is now, what are you prepared to do? Because the Supreme Court has exposed itself as a partisan institution full of hacks that will do everything in their power to protect Donald Trump and make sure that a Republican can be elected, not just in the next election, but in every election going forward.
That's an argument. I have the Wall Street Journal and the News Nation with different opinions on what happened in terms of how the court took the information, the questions that they asked. No decision has been made yet. That won't come till the summer. But here is cable news letting you know that everybody's a hack and the people have to rise up and fight against the court. That's exactly what we need. We need the temperature hotter. Yes, what we're seeing on college campuses all across the country, including IU and including Purdue, that's not hot enough. Not hot enough. University of Southern California, USC, as the friends call it, they've canceled their commencement exercises. They've canceled graduation. They can't guarantee safety because they don't want to. And here's MSNBC just turning it up. I must admit to you that I don't know where I think the I don't know where the court's going to go. I don't have a good opinion about it. I think that there is an argument for all of it. If I'm holding true to my previous words, my argument has been that I don't know how the court is going to rule that somehow a president cannot be charged for crimes committed even while they were in office. It is clear that there's an argument to be made for quote-unquote official acts, right? The job, and then maybe things that are extracurricular. Now, what's going to come is, what if things done during the course of the job turned out to be incorrect? So one of the things that was brought up was Barack Obama engaging in drone strikes that killed American citizens. Is that something that he could be charged with a crime for? Now, I would argue no matter how disgusting the drone strikes are, the answer is no. I would answer that if it was in the course of a response militarily to a hostile force, the answer would be no. If he was dropping drones, you know, or utilizing drones to kill people somewhere in Carmel, I would answer, well, I guess it depends on where Carmel. I would say, yes, that could be charged as a crime. Carmel, even I don't think you deserve that. And I live here. I'm not sure. But I would have a hard time thinking that the court is going to say everything is immune. I didn't get that vibe, but I got nothing that told me that they were going to, you know, indemnify or say that the president cannot be held responsible for anything the president does when in office. I didn't get that either. And as William Jacobson from Cornell Law School said, he thought that the Supreme Court was going to give as narrow of a ruling as possible, send it back to the lower courts and say, you figure it out. This is not actually for us. You can listen to that on the podcast that you can get at WIBC.com.
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friends today in the marketplace, raise the rafters high. Anybody want a motorcycle? Until they say goodbye. Anyone? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. During the breaks, I like to clear my head sometimes and get ready for what we're going to do next. And to do that, I find myself going through Facebook Marketplace and just looking at different things. And some things I buy and some things I don't. Today, a 1950 Jawa Parak 250. I don't even know what that is. Matt Bear, I have no idea what this is.
Does it come with one of those side carts that you can ride in? You
know? When I saw it, 1950 Jawa Parak 250, I didn't know what it was. It's a motorcycle.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You get
right. Thing. It is a very cool looking motorcycle. Like it looks like an old school Indian. That's how I would. I'm talking about the motorcycle.
What?
And that's what it looks like with how the you know, that front headlight works and the fenders. It's like it's the kind of thing that you would put in, you almost use like an art piece in the house or in front of the house. Although I don't know how many people would put like an old motorcycle in front of the house, but it's outrageously cool. And so I'm on this Facebook page, which I posted on X. If you follow me on X, you'll see it. And then one of the shots in the background, there's like 11 motorcycles. So somebody just collects weirdo stuff. And every now and then it's like, I'm going to sell my weirdo stuff. Right. I don't know how you get into this. If I knew anything about motorcycles, I'd be like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It sounds like one of those motorbikes that you would ride downtown on a Friday night, you know, just to kind of show off, you know, and people are like, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, but this one, I'm not quite sure you would ride this anywhere. But yes, it is one of the, see, I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't even ride it. Maybe you'd just like have it, which doesn't make any sense to me anyway. You would want to be able to utilize it.
So this person has like one motorcycle, but then like a collection of motorcycles. Are they also antiques, collectible items, or are they just...
They are in the background. They look like they would be unique.
Okay.
That's what I say. This is in Greenfield, in Indiana. So the 1950... Jawa Parak, P-E-R-A-K, 250.
Sounds like a cup of coffee.
It does, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would order that skinny, Matt Bear. You don't want those extra calories, do you?
No, you don't, big fatty.
You don't want those.
Excuse me.
You don't want those extra calories, you moo.
Stop shaming me.
Ah, please. You could use a little shaming.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
That's what's going on in the marketplace. Sponsorships now available. People are into cool things. They're doing cool stuff. They're selling your stuff. So, I don't know. Get buying. Buy local. That's all there is. And don't worry. When it comes to what just happened with Joe Hogsett, Major League Soccer in the Indy 11, I've put the story together. You ain't going to believe this. That is coming up at 7:06. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Three arrested on the IU Bloomington campus. We've got the story at WIBC.com. Far be it from me to correct my own people, but the headline, Kurt Darling with the reporting, 33 pro-Palestinian protesters arrested on IU Bloomington campus. I would have written it as 33 pro-Hamas bloodlusters arrested. But, you know, what can I say? I'm a poet. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. They set up tents and tables on Dunmeadow, chanting free Palestine. So let's start with what we discussed yesterday. You can't find Palestine on a map. What they mean is to put an end to Israel. This is a call for genocide, and that's what happened on the campus of IU. So all you people donating to Indiana University, are we clear now about what's going on? This is what happened on the campus of IU. And this is happening all over the place. Ohio State had issues. We already know Columbia, NYU, and a host of others. It was only a matter of time. But the police came out. People resisted. 33 got arrested. Damn straight. And for the ACLU of Indiana that's upset about this, you're not allowed to have the encampments. They got arrested. What's your issue? This isn't a free speech conversation. Go on to a street corner, gather some friends, and have a protest. You want to set up an encampment? You're going to get arrested. And also ACLU of Indiana, so we understand each other. This is my thought about you. If these people were protesting against Black Americans or gay Americans, you would demand that they were shot on sight. Oh, the Jews. Let them speak. Now, I'm the guy who says let them speak. Because between the two of us, ACLU of Indiana, one of us has a rational, cogent argument across the through line, and one of us is the ACLU of Indiana. Of course, let them speak. I mean, they're wrong, and they're disgusting, and they're despicable. And as long as they're not promoting violence, we're fine. Except, of course, Free Palestine is a call to genocide, just like From the River to the Sea, because it's the other side of the same coin. That's the word I was looking for. These are all calls to genocide. And then, of course, there are those people who actually are out there saying, kill the Zionists. And if you say to me, nobody's saying that, wait for the popcorn moment. Would you just hold on? I promise to deliver, kitten. Just so you know where we're at. I would be surprised if anybody was surprised that this would come to Indiana and come to the campus of IU. This is the home of Abdelkader Sino, the professor there at IU, who works with these pro-Hamas students, that's my words, and tries to be as supportive of them as possible. Now, this is a professor that got suspended. And, of course, there's a question of whether or not that should have taken place. Should the suspension have taken place? Because he got a room for an event for one of these groups. And that was not, a proper use of... how did they describe it? Not a proper use of the facilities. And they used it as an excuse to suspend him. I thought that was an interesting take that they would do such a thing. But they would have done it for any other person, right? They would have just suspended away. There are people on the campus of IU, not very friendly people. Not very good people. The arrest of these people has to do with the violation of rules. That's what it has to do with. You want to be a bigot, you can. Just do it on a street corner. Don't set up tents. I'm glad they got arrested. I'm happy to see IU not putting up with this stuff. And for the people at IU who are like, how dare President Witten or anybody else, maybe when you give her a vote of no confidence, she's like, well, screw it. Maybe it compelled her to do the right things. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens next. Heard the story that Joe Hogsett announces that there's a push on for an MLS team, Major League Soccer. And you say, wait a second, don't we already have the Indy 11? What exactly is going on here? What exactly is this story? Tony Katz, that's me. I forget if I say hello sometimes. 93 WIBC. Well, let me explain to you what the story is. I have spoken with sources. I have engaged conversations. I spent some time. I even had the very, very disrespectful Adam Wrenn reach out. The same guy who said Tony Katz was going to get people killed because I didn't think you should shut down society because of COVID. But he wasn't reaching out to have a conversation. He just wanted to highlight some article he wrote 6 years ago as if it matters. It was very weird. I didn't curse him out or anything else. I responded back because this was a story. Here's Joe Hogsett making this announcement.
Our pursuit of the world's game.
Our pursuit of the world's game, of course, being soccer. Joe Hogsett walked out to a press conference, an announced press conference. They said it'll happen at 5:30. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 5:30, we're going to have a press conference, and he announces that he's going to apply to bring an MLS team to the city of Indianapolis. Now, there's a problem with this. Joe Hogsett does not have the brains or the courage to act alone. He doesn't. He is not an effective, smart leader. He's not an effective, smart guy. He did not act alone. The Indy 11, led by Ersal Özdemir, who owns Keystone Group Development Company, has been working on trying to bring a stadium to Indianapolis and utilize a tax district that would allow the funding for the stadium. And that stadium would be designed in such a way as they could then make the next step and attract an MLS team, Major League Soccer. Right now, they're in something called USL, United Soccer. The Indy 11 have been here for 10 years. As a matter of fact, yesterday was the 11th year anniversary of the announcement of the team. And that's when Joe Hogsett decided to do this. When the Indy 11 announced the Keystone Group had purchased the Diamond Chain complex, right? That whole manufacturing facility, catty corner there to Lucas Oil Stadium. And they had the groundbreaking. Joe Hogsett was there talking about how this would be transformative for the city. The stadium could hold up to 25,000 and be configured in such a way. And the architects of the stadium are the architects who have built other Major League Soccer stadiums. It was being built for this purpose. So it was clear that the Indy 11 is going in this direction and that the city was with them. The Indy 11 did the work to be able to get the legislature to engage one of these districts, one of these tax districts called a PSDA, and therefore build out this field, the pitch, the whole complex. And the Indy 11 were creating something called 11 Park, which would have retail, which would have apartments, a whole thing. Then, the next thing you know, there's no communication. Then, you hear this story from Joe Hogsett. This story that he went to New York on Monday, and because of that meeting on Monday with Major League Soccer, he decides on a Thursday at 5:30 p.m. to make an announcement. We're going after Major League Soccer. But he did not call the press conference until after the Indianapolis Business Journal ran the story that says Keystone Group says city is backing out of 11 Park deal as mayor plans significant announcement. He cut off communication seemingly with Keystone, with Ersal Özdemir, with the Indy 11 on building out this deal. Yes, while the Indy 11 had done the work and the legislature passed the ability to put together one of these deals, there was no finalized deal between the Indy 11 and the city of Indianapolis. Then it seems Joe Hogsett stopped even trying to negotiate. I think the argument's going to be he stopped negotiating in good faith and then had this meeting with Major League Soccer. Now, how did the meeting with Major League Soccer come about? The answer is I'm not 100% sure. I'm not on the inside there. I do know that Indianapolis just played host to a lot of people because of the NBA All-Star Game. Maybe a conversation started there. Let's face it. Downtown Indianapolis is set up for so many of these things, the hotels and everything else. You don't need a cab. It's super easy. We've often discussed this. Great place for conventions. And of course, we built ourselves on sports. That's the story of Indianapolis long before I got here. So maybe it came from there. Now he has a New York trip on Monday. And he's making this announcement on Thursday. Now, was he not negotiating in good faith? Was he stringing the Indy 11 along? Did he break off communications with Indy 11? There's a lot of questions here. But I want to go back to where I started. Joe Hogsett is not smart enough to move alone. So when he says that he doesn't have the courage, when he says we're putting in our application, I want to be clear about something. He didn't say it, and I don't know who it is, but that guy already has an ownership team together, which means somebody came to him. Maybe Major League Soccer, maybe somebody else. When we think about Indiana, it could be one of two groups, or I mean, it could be more, and I'm not making an accusation here. The mind goes to where it goes. Peyton Manning or the Pacers organization, or Ursay, three people who could have the dollars, the wherewithal, the technology, the capability to put that all together because it's a $500 million lift, never mind the building of a stadium. So there's three that you would think of right away. Was it one of them? I have no idea. What I know is Joe Hogsett went to New York and came back with a deal through MLS, which meant sorry, Ursal Özdemir, sorry, Keystone Group, sorry, Indy 11 fans, kiss off. I'm going to look like a hero. And he went to that press conference without a single person next to him. No one from his office, no one from the city county council. As Abdul Hakim Shabazz reported, the council is not down for this. So I don't know who the group is, and I don't know where they're going to build this thing. Remember, Ursal owns the Diamond Chain complex. It's not like the city could take it from him, although the city has taken land before. This is a ruthless, ruthless place. So we're going to see how this plays out, but let me say this before we get to Matt Bear, and I apologize for the delay. Anybody who is right now trying to work a deal with the city of Indianapolis, who trusts the city of Indianapolis, is out of their mind. Trusting Indianapolis? No. Indianapolis is available to the highest bidder. And you say to me, well, that's business. If you think you've got a deal with this city, think again. They just told you who they are. This is ugly. And I cannot wait for more information to come forth. Oh, and lawsuits. I assume lawsuits. The apology is already out. Oh, I didn't mean to say all that. People are just, you know, twisting my words. Yeah, but they were your words from just a couple months ago. Why would you be apologizing for them? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. No time to delay. The popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. On the Columbia University campus, one of these leaders who's upset with the Zionists. You may have seen the video or heard the audio of I thought it was a woman, this guy who, we want to form a human chain because there are Zionists in the encampment. Yeah, and they were doing the whole call and response thing. So it turns out this guy makes some videos, and they're hilarious.
If we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, if there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die?
Well, he seems nice. I don't like those people over there, so therefore let's kill them. No, seriously, let's kill them before they kill people so we can show how decent we are.
Zionists, they're Nazis. They're Nazis. They're fascists. They're supporters of genocide. Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live? I'm confused.
No. Are you really confused? Because to the rest of us, you sounded totally sane. When are you running for office? We'd like to donate. This is who is emblematic of all of these events. Where was the person at one of the events yesterday? They had a sign. If you follow me over at TonyKatz.com, you can see a picture of it. The sign has the Palestinian flag, and it reads, "Final Solution." That's a sign at these rallies. Final Solution. That was Hitler's plan for the Jews. Final Solution. This is happening in real time. And this guy was leading the organization there in Colombia.
Someone in the chat right now, should people who are supporters of genocide, should Zionists, aka Nazis, white supremacists, should they live? Should they live?
Now, I should note that this man is black, because you should know. And also the white supremacist thing, because, well, everything has to occupy that in the world of race. Remember, they see Israel as white and it's oppressed, oppressor, and all that nonsense. This video is nutty. But now he's apologizing. I want people to have more context for my words, which I regret. Far-right agitators went through months of my social media feed until they found a clip that they edited without context. Really?
Zionists, along with all white supremacists, need to not exist.
How is that out of context? You wish the ideology didn't exist? Okay. You want to kill the people? Oh, no. This is the expression hoisted by my own petard. Like, is that what's happened to this dude? Or no, you really do want to kill in the name of, I don't know, whatever it is you have a name of. This is who you are. You claim that Israel is the killer, and yet listen to yourself. Just listen to yourself. But yet I'm told that all these people are just super peaceful. Sure. Some of them, maybe. But some of them, no. Years ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I had a restaurant in Tampa, Florida. Owned it with the family. Tony Katz. 93 WIBC, good morning. And we did shift meals for servers and staff. Right? You worked, you got to eat. And as with all things, familiarity breeds contempt, and people started to abuse the system. Extra this, extra that, sometimes taking something else they weren't supposed to. The costs got out of line. We had to change it. you would have thought we had shot someone's dog. The anger, the disgust, how dare you? Now, when I look back on it, the people who were most angry were the ones who, in my view, weren't so much interested in the gig, they were interested in the deals. And it happens. Some people who were rather committed because it was a good gig voiced concerns, and some people were like, hey, it's fine. It's all right. It's not like you should expect things to be handed to you. I learned a lot from those experiences. Like, hey, maybe I shouldn't own a restaurant again. Although I do think of other things to do, but another story for another day. This idea of the shift meal, this idea of the free this and the free that, I think this vexes a lot of people in the service industry. Clearly, this has been an issue for Chipotle. Chipotle sent out an email to employees last week saying, hey, when you take your shift meal, no chicken. And people are like, I'm sorry, what now? No, chicken is for customers, right? And it's like coffee is for closers. And you haven't closed. You don't get no coffee. Put the coffee down. No chicken. Store managers were told not to order their work meals with chicken or the chicken al pastor and to ask staff to do the same. A week later, after hearing from the people, the staff can now have chicken with their meals. Quote, we are not experiencing outages of chicken in our restaurants. Last week, we temporarily asked employees to select non-chicken options for their employee meals to maintain supply for our guests based on our strong sales. But employees are now free to select chicken in their meals as normal. I don't know. I get the whole thing about the employee meal. It does. I think that there's a moment of, look, food cost is 33%, or, you know, if you're doing it right, a little bit less. And well, I guess it depends on the food. And you can afford this and you can do that and you can do the other. But it's a question of abuses of the system. But I don't know if I go into the deal thinking that I'm supposed to be fed. I'm not so sure. But the idea of, hey, yes, you could do the meal, but no chicken. That's a little peculiar. And maybe there's a difference between me with a mom and pop place and Chipotle with 9 million places. And their sales are up through the roof. They've raised their prices. Oh, is it like 8 times over the past number of years? And people are still like, yeah, got to have it. Gotta get my balance of protein and carbs. You know, burritos are actually health food. Burritos are delicious. I don't know if they're necessarily health food, people. Just saying. So if you work at Chipotle, you're free. Have all of the chicken you want and save some from Matt Bear, because that is how he gets his protein. And meets his goals. He's a Chipotle guy. I don't know if that's true, but you should sponsor him anyway. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
The economy is slowing. The expectation was it was going to be 2.5% in the first quarter, and it was 1.6. And we saw the statement from the president talking about how it's been 3% over the last year, but was 1.6 about what the White House had projected?
So look, you saw this in the statement, so I'm just going to reiterate just a little bit here what the GDP report showed. The economy remains strong, and we've been talking about the steady and stable growth, and that's what we see from that report today.
How do these people expect us to believe them when they so clearly lie? The GDP was 1.6. The expectation was 2.4. And yet they want to tell us it's just proof of how strong the economy is. This goes along the line of something that Jared Bernstein said yesterday. Jared Bernstein runs the White House Economic Council. And he's like, you know, the number isn't great overall, but hey, what if we just manipulate the number?
So you're okay with this GDP report?
Yeah, I think this GDP report, especially once you get under the hood, you take out some of those more volatile components. Consumer spending and investment look great.
What are you doing? That is a maddening, maddening statement. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. You've got Donald Trump entering day 8 of his trial. You've got the guy from, what's the tabloid? National Enquirer, is that it?
Yes.
David Pecker?
Yes, National Enquirer.
Yeah, so the group is called American Media. He's the former CEO. He's taking the stand. And Trump is at the trial because he's been ordered to be at the trial. And everybody wants to talk about at the end of the day, oh, he looks so tired. Oh, he looks so lethargic. Oh, this isn't going well. This is the grand total of the amount of time I'm spending on this trial. I was talking to my program director the other day about this. And, you know, I go over a series of things. Here's what I'm covering and here's what I'm doing and here's how I'm kind of balancing things. But if you ask me about this trial, I'm spending all of like 6 minutes a day on it. Nope. 3 minutes a day on it. Nope. Minute. No, I'm down. I'm done now. Because there's nothing to talk about. The people who are covering this in the way that they are, look at how Trump looks. Let's count the lines in his face. These people are crazy. This trial is nonsense and doesn't change anything. I'm not getting myself wrapped up into it. I don't think you should either. But it's going on. It's on day 8. The whole thing is nonsense. Paying hush money is not a crime. This whole catch and kill thing is just a silly bit of nonsense. This is shameful. Absolutely shameful. Oh, by the way, he could totally be found guilty. But that's just because we have a problem with the justice system. Not because the guy did anything wrong. Morally, you might think that hush money is wrong to pay someone to be quiet after having sex with you. But legally, let's not be ridiculous. Supreme Court hearing the arguments about presidential immunity. Can the president simply state that what I was doing as a part of the job, and therefore you can't charge me criminally for it? It's the argument that his team is making. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. The lawyers for the Justice Department saying, of course the president can be held liable. Of course he can be charged if he does something criminal. The Supreme Court didn't seem to me to lend itself in either direction. Although everybody wants to take their own spin on the thing. Everybody wants to take their own look at this. Oh, the court's going to do this. The court's going to do that. You don't know what the court's going to do until they do. And I did not get a feel yesterday that they were signaling in any which direction. I thought Ketanji Brown Jackson, Justice Jackson, was argumentative, but that could be me not having enough experience with how the Supreme Court works. But for the newest member of the court, she certainly asks a lot of questions. She certainly puts herself out there a bit. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, Amy Coney Barrett did ask questions. But they seem to be a much more reserved set of questions. This also seem to be much more focused. That's my take. Where the court's going to go, I don't have an answer for that. The Colts, they go with Liatu Latu. We're talking about a pass rusher. We're talking about some defense for the Colts. And the reason that it matters is that in the NFL draft last night, you had 14 offensive picks in a row. And Chris Ballard took a look at the situation and said, all the great defensive players are still on the board. I got my pick. I don't think he was wrong to feel that way or think that way or go with this guy. He played at Washington and had a problem with his neck. And they told him, you can't play anymore. But then they seemingly figured it out. Spent 2 years at UCLA being touted as one of the best in the nation. Whatever that neck issue is, they either fixed it or it's not an issue and the Colts felt good enough to go forward. I don't think they're wrong in giving it a go. Maybe your offensive choices were taken. Certainly Bowers from Georgia went at that 13th pick to the Las Vegas Raiders. It'll be a tight end. Interesting pickup. Guy's a tank. So, okay, what do? You go this direction. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Not at all. I know some people are going to complain, but they always complain. Dear Lord, everybody's complaining all of the time. Now, complaining about this announcement from Hogsett regarding the stadium, regarding Major League Soccer, oh, I understand that. But it's more than just complaining. There's a real issue here that needs a second look, especially in the backdrop of what it is that Joe Hogsett is saying. Because the first rule of Joe Hogsett, once you've lived in Indianapolis for more than an hour, is that Joe Hogsett has no strength, has no conviction, and has no ability to do something on his own. He doesn't have the mind. So everything that is now happening regarding Major League Soccer possibly coming to Indianapolis is because of Major League Soccer. The question is, who was Joe Hogsett willing to just hang out to dry in order to make it happen? And who will he hang out to dry next? That story is coming up. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Everybody get up. Adam Schiff got robbed in San Francisco. Well, of course he did. It's San Francisco. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I don't want to see anybody get robbed. Doesn't matter how despicable Congressman Adam Schiff is. But he got carjacked. He was supposed to do a campaign dinner. He's running for Senate. He gets carjacked. And he has to show up to this swanky dinner. Swanky, we're told. Very, very swanky. By the way, I am not a fan of the word swanky. It's like when people use classy. If you tell me an event is classy or something is classy, I only assume that leopard print is going to be involved and I can't know you anymore. But he got robbed. Yes, they took my bags, but I'm here to thank Joe. This is an attorney who was supporting Schiff. They're trying to replace Dianne Feinstein, who passed away. We've got problems. People keep wanting to say, well, look, the murder rate is down. Anybody feel safer? Well, no, Tony, that's because you talk radio hosts won't admit that everything's better. It's because not everything's better. If random women are being punched in the face in the streets of New York, if Adam Schiff is having his luggage stolen, well, he could have had his luggage stolen any time. Yeah, this is the problem. Everybody's getting everything stolen all the time. It's the standard for San Francisco. Why are we okay with this? Why do we value this? Why not say, let's not have it anymore? Let's try to push back. Prosecute criminals, get aggressive with criminals, make them fear. Either we can live in fear or they can live in fear. I've made my decision. Now let's bring it back to this story about Major League Soccer in Indianapolis, because the commentaries from Joe Hogsett leave much to be desired. This is the story that yesterday Mayor Hogsett announced that Indianapolis is going after a Major League Soccer team after he went to New York to talk to Major League Soccer officials. For many of us, this is kind of shocking, because isn't this exactly what the Indy 11 have been doing for years and trying to put together the opportunities through the General Assembly to be able to get a stadium and then go after MLS? It was very clear that they were going after MLS. Right now they play in the United Soccer League. There was the announcement of the purchase of the Diamond Chain Complex, and that's where 11 Park was going to go in. It was going to transform the area with a stadium that could hold 25,000, and it was going to have apartments and retail and restaurants. And who was there at the groundbreaking? Joe Hogsett. Then Joe Hogsett, what? He's talking to the Indy 11 and stringing them along while he's working with Major League Soccer? Let's understand certain things about Joe Hogsett. Joe Hogsett is not smart, and Joe Hogsett has no courage. Both those things are true. I would say it to his face. He is not smart. He has no vision, and he has no courage. That tells you, once you understand that, that informs you that he has not decided to go after Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer quite clearly decided to go after Indianapolis. So let's break down his words. Let's listen to what he said.
I can't guarantee that, you know, that MLS will ultimately award a franchise to Indianapolis. But at the same time, passing up the opportunity is not acceptable.
The opportunity was there with the Indy 11. You seem to have passed that up. Oh, the Indy 11 couldn't afford a team. I have now read that, seen that from James Briggs over at the Indy Star and from Adam Wren at Politico. Neither one of them knows what the hell they're talking about. They can make that as a guess. It could be their take, but it's not factual. The only people who know if the Indy 11 have the money, the $500 million plus, to bring in a Major League Soccer team are Saul Ozdemir, the owner of the Indy 11, and the Keystone Group. That's it. If you think Briggs or Wren have any kind of inside knowledge, you're out of your mind and clearly have never read their work. It was just cheap nonsense. Hey, look at me. I'm important. As opposed to taking the time to gather some data and understand what happened here.
It's still in formation. I mean, we're at the infancy of this process.
Is that right? You're at the infancy of the process, but you've made this announcement after meeting with MLS.
That's entirely up to my friend Ursul Ozdemir. I mean, whether he wants to continue. What we're doing is focusing on bringing a third major league franchise to the city of Indianapolis.
Be clear, I don't know if Ursul considers Joe Hogsett a friend. And the Keystone is doing a fair amount of construction in downtown Indianapolis right now. It is obvious that Joe Hogsett went to New York and Major League Soccer said to Joe Hogsett, we want to put a team in Indianapolis and here's who's going to do it. And whether or not Joe Hogsett even had the decency to say, well, what about what Indy 11 is putting together? I don't know. But it is very clear that Joe Hogsett is not in control. I'm saying it. Joe Hogsett is not the one who set this in motion. Joe Hogsett did not have a great vision for the city. The vision was given to him because clearly MLS has made a move. Now, is it possible that the Indy 11, which is wanting to do this stadium, doesn't have the money to bring it in? Of course, it's possible. What I'm saying is that I have no data to back that up. And neither does anybody else. But what is also true is that if Major League Soccer wants to work with certain people, wouldn't you argue they'll work with their certain people? Now, who are these people? That I don't have an answer for. Right? Are they people out of Indiana? Well, who could handle this kind of lift? Jim Irsay, the Simon family, Peyton Manning. I mean, those are the names you go to. Forrest Lucas. There, I added another name of people who could handle this lift and raise the money. And if you say to me, Peyton Manning, what? J.J. Watt owns Brumley. Have you not seen the story of Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney with Wrexham? Owning a team is big, big deal. And yes, MLS, while it's a huge in, also has a payout. So of course it's possible that Peyton's involved. I'm not accusing him of anything at all. I would have no reason to. The accusation here is the factual one that Joe Hogsett was told, here's what's happening, and did the bidding. Didn't worry about the fallout, and didn't worry about screwing anybody over. I'm told that he went Monday to New York, and now Thursday he's making this announcement. You think this happened in 4 days? Or did this happen over 4 weeks? And has he and the city of Indianapolis been stringing the Indy 11 along when they could have been making maybe other plans or gaining other partners or moving in another direction or realizing that this was a fool's errand? Trusting Joe Hogsett is a mistake, and now everybody who wants to work with Indianapolis knows it. And I want to now hear from the city county council. Because you'll notice when he spoke, he was alone. He gave a press conference. It was just him at the podium, and then he left. He never took a question. Where was the city county council to talk about the great union jobs this was going to bring? Is it possible they're not with him? Or worse, possible they didn't even know that Joe is doing this on his own. You think Joe Hogsett knows how to make a deal? Would you trust Joe Hogsett to make a deal? Or is he going to mortgage Indianapolis down the river so he can look like a hero? More questions than answers, guys. I'm sorry about that.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be here. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures up 143. 143? What the bloody heck is going on there? Is this more AI talk? CNBC with the reporting, Microsoft saying that cloud AI demand is exceeding supply even after 79% surge in capital spending. Everybody is in on, like, is it too late to get in on this if you're somebody doing casual investing? Is that ship already sailed? Because the capital's still going in in a big, big way. Now, the story I was catching was that inflation is up 2.8% in March from a year ago. The personal consumption expenditures price index, excluding food and energy, increased 2.8% from a year ago in March, above the 2.7 estimate. Translation, inflation is still rising. Meanwhile, oil prices has West Texas Intermediate at $84 a barrel and Brent crude at $89.60. These are both up. Last week it was, hey, Iran's not going to fire back on Israel. Everything's going to settle. Nothing is settled. Meanwhile, gold is at $23.48. And we should be paying attention to gold. We should be paying attention to gold prices, because people utilize this as a hedge against inflation. And this had, if I'm taking a look at the numbers properly, we go back to 2021, gold was at 2,400. Then we take a look at, April 21st, gold was at 2,400. Right now, gold is at 2,362. But just in this year, gold has gone from 2,000, it was at 1,900 for a quick bit, up to 24. People seeing the inflation coming. They see it building. In the past 12 months, the lowest gold price was $1,831. That was in October of 2023. How many more ways do you need to see this? You're not crazy. You are not out of your mind. Everything is still more expensive. Everything is staying more expensive. And yet the White House, when asked the question, wants to tell you, everything's fine.
The economy is slowing. The expectation was it was going to be 2.5% in the first quarter, and it was 1.6. And we saw the statement from the president talking about how it's been 3% over the last year, but was 1.6 about what the White House had projected?
So look, you saw this in the statement, so I'm just going to reiterate just a little bit here what the GDP report showed. The economy remains strong, and we've been talking about the steady and stable growth, and that's what we see from that report today.
If that's what you see from the report about GDP being 1.6 when the expectation was 2.4, you lie. Here's the data. Here's the inflation measure. Here's oil prices. Here's gold prices. Believe who you want, people. Believe reality or believe what you're told. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I'm the disco duck.
So this answers the question, hey, Tony, when are you going to bring more ducks on the show? Get asked that all the time. Tony, seriously, it's a great show, but no ducks? Moving my feet to the disco beat. I didn't want to let you down any longer. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Anthony Blinken, he's the Secretary of State. He is meeting with Xi Jinping. The U.S. wants Beijing to have less of a relationship with Russia. That's hilarious. Would it matter what it is Xi said if he looked you in the eye and said, I promise, we won't buy any more Russian missile defense systems? What would make you believe such a thing? Back in November, there was a meeting, remember, between Xi and President Biden. That's when San Francisco decided, okay, we'll clean ourselves up for our leader. I mean, the president of China, who we no way love. And we'll get rid of the homeless problem. You know what? We'll grab some shovels. We'll clean up all the poop. There'll be no more poop on the ground. And then our dear leader, I mean the president of China, will show up and he'll see how great it is, and he'll be proud of us, and maybe he'll let us come back home. I mean, visit his wonderful country. Anybody who thinks China is going to be moved from their desires, right? Belt and Road Initiative, China 2025. These things are part of their fabric. They want to be the power. Yet we don't recognize what happens if they're in power. This can be said of all of the fools who were protesting, engaging in screams for genocide on the campus of IU. 33 people got arrested. The story is at WIBC.com. You want to really live under the control of Hamas? You want that to be in control? Let's try Sharia for a week and see what happens to you. Let's see how quickly you collapse. How quickly you fall apart. You couldn't last a second. You wouldn't last a day. And we all know it. But you act like You act like somehow they're on the side of good and decent. Shame on Israel. Oh, terrible Israel. Okay. I often quote David Mamet in this situation. The playwright, David Mamet, who never wrote a sentence that couldn't have been made better with like three or four curse words. If right now, wherever you were, whether it's you're talking about the state or the country or the city, it was coming to an end. It was going to be completely wiped out. It would be blinked out of existence. And there were two airplanes, one to take you to Syria, or in this case, we'll call it Gaza, and one to take you to Israel. Which one would you go to? One takes you to Khan Yunis. One takes you to Tel Aviv. One takes you to Rafah. One takes you to Jerusalem. Which plane are you getting on? That's reality. Everything else is just nonsense, masturbatory fantasy. The people screaming couldn't live a day under that regime. Why do they scream for it then? Why is it that they want this? Well, if your entire life is talking about the oppressed and the oppressor, well, then you have to be opposed to the oppressor. Israel's an oppressor? No. No, but if you view everything in terms of white people bad and black people victimized, brown people victimized, this is what you say. This is exactly what you say. This is what you support. I don't get me wrong. I agree that it's madness. I agree that you shouldn't want any part of it. I agree that it's nuts. But when you believe in an ideology that will lie for sport, this is what you get. This is all that you get. I'm glad they arrested those people on the campus of IU. I only hope they continue with that level of strength. Because they're protesting? No, no. You can protest all you want, even if you're a Jew-hating bigot. You can't go camping. And the people who are okay with that are weird people. And the people who support the message? Well, those are just disgusting people. Don't be driven too crazy this weekend. Have a bourbon. Enjoy the weather. Tony Katz today is at noon.